How frustrating is it when you think somebody finally understands the situation, what's required of them, only to have them reveal that they just still don't get it? Now, this could be said of the Catholic Church in America for years. Archdiocese across the nation denied victims who were raped by priests, gave cover to those child predators, and dragged court cases out for as long as they possibly could. However, as we well know, the victims refused to fall into silence. This finally led to settlements across the nation and admissions of wrongdoing by these archdioceses. Big question that had been hanging out there was, what would the New York Archdiocese wind up admitting and doing? Well, the answer finally arrived, and it revealed that the New York Archdiocese wants things to be more beneficial for them rather than for the victims. Here to discuss what the New York Archdiocese is proposing, ramifications this could have for victims nationwide, is the New Jersey State Director of Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, Mark Crawford. Thanks for being back here today, Mark.
Thank you again, Chris. Yes.
And a little more about SNAP. That's snapnetwork.org. There are chapters in every state, and you can keep up to date, too, with the various agreements, confessions, admissions, and, well, like we're seeing here, Mark, the challenges. Talk about this proposal for settlement that the New York Archdiocese has placed forward, and what troubles victims such as yourself about it.
Certainly, yes. At the surface, it sounds wonderful. We're going to hear it's the largest settlement ever offered, $800 million, and they've also promised to reveal or release records of those accused. However, there is one serious, immoral, dangerous caveat. They're also requiring all 1,300 claimants to unanimously accept the deal. That means if just one refuses to go along, the deal is dead. Now, and on top of that, they have been mentioning, well, if this doesn't work, we're going to have to go the route of bankruptcy. Bankruptcy, of course, would add many more years. It's already been many years that they've been the victims fighting this battle with the Archdiocese of New York. And again, bankruptcy would likely give them even less of a payout, right? And it would take many more years, and the diocese itself would wind up paying many more millions to their bankruptcy lawyers.
Now here's the crazy part. Let's stop you right there. The New York Archdiocese is threatening bankruptcy. If you look at their assets, just in real estate alone, how can any bankruptcy court take that serious?
Oh, I totally agree. In fact, the vast majority of the money from this settlement comes from the sale of a singular property on Madison Avenue that was consummated fairly recently for upwards of $500 million. So this is just one property in Manhattan where the majority of this money will come from. So, yes, agreed. I don't know how they really think that they're going to go down that road. So the process they're proposing mimics a bankruptcy in many ways, but, of course, there's no judicial oversight. There's no judicial rules. There's no discovery. There's no releasing of assets. So it seems like a bankruptcy kind of offer, yet it's totally outside, at this point, the judicial system. So, you know, they've proposed and said, look, here's the carrot they're dangling, $800 million. You won't have to wait long. You can immediately get $250,000 if you don't want to wait. So that's an easy one for them, right? No brainer. It is actually a win-win for them and a lose-lose for the victims. And what I mean by that is that, look, if it doesn't work, and it's not likely all 1,300 survivors are going to want to go down this road, but let's just say one of them does not. Can you imagine the psychological pressure or possibly even active pressure or intimidation from the other survivors who really would like to settle. So it pits survivor against survivor. And that fact alone, to me, makes this an immoral type of demand or offer. It is just, even in bankruptcy court, never has there been in any bankruptcy, not the Boy Scouts of America, not the USA Gymnastics, not any of the other dioceses, did a bankruptcy court require 100% consent, because that creates a power structure that's either beneficial to one individual or to the institution seeking that clause. So it is horrible, horrible offer. And now, look, it really puts the victims back in the very place they were, where they had no leverage, no control. The church held all the cards, and we're right back there again. It's further abuse of these survivors from an institution that constantly claims openly, we want to heal them, we want to do the right thing. No. What they're doing is forcing a model of coercion. And the problem with that is, if it is successful, do you not think any other institution, not just those in the church, whether it be schools, colleges, universities, athletic organizations, where there's a group of victims, do you not see them wanting to pursue the same type of avenue? This would set a horrible, immoral precedent. And it's unacceptable.
And what the church is doing, what the Archdiocese of New York is doing, they're basically trying to divide and conquer so that they can have the victims, as you said, fighting against themselves. And the church can say, hey, we tried. And, you know, add to all this what you said, Mark, the clock is ticking. The deadline for this is June 27th. That's not a lot of time for all these victims. I know there's one attorney who's representing 300 of the 1,300, but I would wager to bet that even he's having a challenging time trying to get unanimity among the 300 that he represents.
Without a doubt. It's a real hard road to hoe. And I got to tell you, look, they could take, like I said, you know, what's the person going to say? Well, we tried. Well, we tried. We put the best offer forward. No. The new Archbishop of New York, Archbishop Hicks, should absolutely rescind this clause. Look, even if you ask for a supermajority, which happens in bankruptcy cases, they probably would still get it. What they're really trying to ensure is that not a single case gets before the court. One, because they know any type of award in some of these most egregious cases are going to be exceptionally larger than any offer, any single one of these victims will get under the current offer. And they don't want others to see that, because, of course, that's just going to build resentment, right? And at the very least. It's a really negative, immoral type of position to try and put these victims in, the victims that they had a part in creating. It's just incredible to me that people don't see through this. Hopefully they do. But I'm very concerned, because not just in New York, settlements with various dioceses and other organizations are ongoing in New Jersey and throughout this country. And if this is successful in one of the most affluent archdioceses in the world, then what's to stop anybody else from trying to make the same offer? And it's just not going to fly here in New Jersey. I've heard from countless victims here in New Jersey who said, that better not happen here. There's no way. I want to have my day in court. So I am fairly certain there's at least some of those in New York that probably feel the same way.
Well, no doubt.
Time will tell.
No doubt. And it's also part of the strategy of the Archdiocese. They put on the table the document release. They have to release secret documents about historical reports and how those who raped children, the priests and the bishops, were handled internally. How many? I wonder how many people actually believe that? Because it sounds like, you know, have we seen the Epstein files? Have we seen the JFK files? Have we seen the UFO files? We get these promises, these little carrots hung before us, and too many people fall prey to those carrots, and they're fake carrots, not even real ones.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I feel that very way, and I know many others do. We have seen for decades them not produce, hand over documents, even when court ordered. In fact, right now, there's two other cases I can think of where this very issue is playing out. Seton Hall University, where, a most prominent Catholic institution, headed up. Now, the head of the Board of Regents is always the local archbishop, in this case, Cardinal Tobin. They commissioned a report. They're still fighting to this day. And in fact, yesterday morning, there was a hearing on the release of the documents, and they're claiming that they should not be released because it's attorney-client privilege. The law firm that actually conducted the investigation stated in the report they had no relationship with Seton Hall, no legal, this is not under a lawsuit. This was an investigation commissioned by the archbishop to look into McCarrick's influence at the seminary at Seton Hall. And, of course, it's a 20,000-page report that's quite damning from what we understand. I have not yet seen it. But we've heard reports in the press about aspects of that report. And it's clear to this day, even though the cardinal himself said he wants it all out, he wants it all exposed, he's going to let anybody come forward, they stopped the very person who knows the former president of Seton Hall from testifying or talking to the committee that's doing the investigation. They don't want the truth out. They don't want to know. Keep it hidden. They're fighting to this day. So Seton Hall, it goes on and on. There's another court case that just resolved in the fall, where a victim from the prestigious Dalbarton School, run by the Benedictine monks, went through his whole court proceeding. The jury found that he, in fact, was abused and awarded him $5 million. There was a punitive phase in which the jury did not find to punish the school further, and there was an offer of zero. After this whole court case concluded, it's now been discovered that the person who abused this victim, all right, the Benedictines had other reports done, an investigation done by their investigator that turned up far more evidence that was never, ever turned over in the last 9 years where the justices in New Jersey ordered the turnover of all investigative files in this case. And now they're finding out there's at least four or five more files that were never disclosed, never handed over. And there's now a motion before the court to further sanction the school, Dalbarton, or the monks, for concealing these documents. And I don't know how that'll go, but that ruling is due in a few days, on the 22nd, I believe. So, again, we continue to see these institutions conceal, hide, or harbor evidence. I mean, we saw that in the Penn State case initially, and then emails surfaced which showed a lot more knowledge of Jerry Sandusky's proclivities. And it's not just the church. So, look, the justice system is supposed to provide a level playing field. But when the wealthy and powerful feel they can take that risk and not be open and honest, it is the victims who once again are hurt and unjustly compensated because these institutions will take any chance to conceal what they knew, what they did or did not do.
Yep, just by
and these are just all classic examples.
Just by pressuring and getting things to work, as I said back in the introduction, their way. So for you listening, as we have to wrap up the segment here, this could actually turn into an advantage elsewhere. I mean, what's going to happen within the New York Archdiocese is going to happen, still to be determined. But this is an alert for everywhere else to get your elected leaders locally, statewide, to say, if this is going to be tried here in fill in the blank of your state and your city, your archdiocese, we're not going to allow it to happen. It's the voice of the victim, the voice of the people who care about the victim, that should be directed at the local elected leaders to make sure that what the New York Archdiocese is trying, will they succeed, will they won't? Let's hope that they don't. But what they're trying could be tried in where you are, and you have at least the advance notice that, well, this could work there, it might work here, let's get ahead of it so it fails here where we are. That you can be assured of with your voice, and the voice of the people can be a very strong, loud voice as well. Mark wrote a great column that summarizes all that we talked about here, too. You can find that and a lot more information at the website for the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests at snapnetwork.org. He is the New Jersey State Director of Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, Mark Crawford. Mark, you are indeed a devoted, dedicated advocate to the victims, and you help us understand, too, why we need to be as well. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you again, Chris.